She's walking away and giving it to this unnamed person. We're not very efficient with the way we run government. We're not very efficient with the way we run school districts. And this is why people in the 21st century are very, very frustrated. We need to start making some serious changes as to how we do this. Status quo is not being very effective. We move in a very quick world, and having meetings once a month is not really very effective. And when we don't have successful meetings, to push them off yet another month to get a resolution is a tremendous waste of everybody's time. It's happening right now with the Greg Krantz tubing business. Every time they have a setback, it sets him back a month. Now, I'm not in favor of his business. I'm not a pro of his business. What I am frustrated by is that anybody who's trying to make a difference in our county and our country is faced with timetable that's just not conducive to making any decisions and putting somebody at risk of trying to get a business started is affected by this timetable. So we have to start doing something differently, or we're going to have some serious trouble. Well, okay, well, that's about it for today. We're going to move on out of here. It's been my pleasure to be with you, as I am every weekday morning at 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. We'll be back again tomorrow morning. Thank you to Michelle Heidi for her contribution to the show. Vince Arnolino says, never say I should have. Well, I'd like you to participate in the effects of your municipality and your governments. I'd really like for us to start figuring out a way to be more efficient about it. And that would be my Vince Arnolino never say I should have for the day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com.
USA Radio News with John DeMaster.
Bernie Sanders is in hot water after the Federal Election Commission says they found 8 campaign finance violations in a report filed by Sanders in May, including donors exceeding the individual donation limit of $2,700. The chair of the RNC doubts the likely Republican nominee Donald Trump's personal life is going to matter much to voters. Here's Joe Gomez.
Whether it's Donald Trump's tax returns or reports of disrespecting women, the head of the Republican National Committee says people just don't care.
When people are hypocrites, obviously that's when these stories have an impact. But I don't think Donald Trump and his personal life is something that people are looking at and saying, well, I'm surprised that he's had girlfriends in the past.
Reince Priebus tells Fox News Sunday the American people are more concerned about who will, quote, bring an earthquake to D.C. I'm Joe Gomez.
And this is USA Radio News, powered by USARadio.com.
Hello, I'm Aaron, a student at Hillsdale College. Here is Hillsdale President Larry Arnn on why Americans should study the presidency.
People should study the American presidency because it's one of the three branches of government, and it's the part that acts. And so when the government gets ready to do something to us or to our allies or enemies in the world, it's the executive branch that does it. And there's some reason to fear it these days. It's an awesome power. But in addition, there's a series of constraints on it. One of them is there's an amount of time he's got, and then he's got to go back to the people. Another is, he has to do things that are lawful, and he doesn't get to make the laws. And so a constitutional executive is a very powerful thing, operating under the constraints and for the purposes of the Constitution of the United States.
This Constitution Minute was brought to you by Hillsdale College. To receive a free pocket constitution and declaration, go to constitutionminute.com.
Donald Trump says he's not considering Marco Rubio to be his running mate. The denial comes after former Republican presidential candidate Ben Carson, who advised Donald Trump on the selection of his running mate, dropped some names to the Washington Post, saying the real estate mogul was considering Rubio as well as former candidates John Kasich, Ted Cruz, Chris Christie, and Sarah Palin. In its new campaign to indoctrinate youth, the ISIS terrorist group launching a new app geared to promote Islam and its jihadist consequences to children on a global scale. The Liberty of Zeal, also known as the propaganda department of ISIS, is promoting a new app called Haruf, which interprets the alphabet or letters from Arabic to English. It's been reported that the app is now available on Android devices to children who ISIS commonly refer to as cubs of the caliphate. And the president recognizes 13 police officers with the Public Safety Officer Medal of Valor. This is the highest honor given to law enforcement officers who risk their lives to protect others. This is USA Radio News.
Whoa. The moment my son saw a redwood tree.
It's huge!
Is the moment I knew that for him.
You can't even see the top of that thing.
Even the sky has no limit.
There are some moments only the forest can inspire. Find yours at discovertheforest.org. Learn about forests near you and discover cool things to do when you go. Your moment is out there. Find it at discovertheforest.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
A top U.S. official says ISIS is losing ground in Iraq and Syria. Speaking in Jordan, Brett McGurk said the terrorist group is shrinking, so they are very much on the defensive. McGurk serving as the special envoy in the fight against ISIS. Actress Susan Sarandon believes that Woody Allen sexually assaulted his adopted daughter, Dylan Farrell. She made the comment during an interview at the Cannes Film Festival yesterday. She was asked about the filmmaker amid renewed talk of Farrell's accusations of abuse in the 1990s. There is a call for more dogs at the airports to cut down on wait times. USA Radio's Anthony Lucero has that report.
New York Senator Chuck Schumer says New York's airports should bring in more dogs to cut down on those long lines at security. At a press conference on Sunday night, Schumer called on the Transportation Security Administration to increase the number of passenger screening canines as well as TSA agents at the airports as soon as possible. He says more dogs will allow passengers to go through security without having to remove items such as shoes, belts, and coats, slashing screening times by about half. Schumer calls the current wait times outrageous and says the move is especially necessary ahead of the busy summer travel season. I'm Anthony Lucero.
Two tourists are finding out the hard way that it's not okay to stash a baby bison in the back of your SUV just because you think it might be cold. It happened at Yellowstone National Park last week. The two foreign visitors ticketed for attempting to rescue the bison from the cold. They took it to a ranger station where it was later released. They also got fined because they were within 25 feet of a large animal. This is USA Radio News.
Hey, welcome to the table. Chef Bill here. Chef Bill's Table. Get together every Monday around this time to talk about food or beverages, occasions, anything. So, everybody had a good weekend. Looking forward to some planting going on, at least around here. I guess May 15th is the time when the growers are fairly sure that there won't be any frost, although it got cool the last couple of nights, but don't think it's frosting yet. So looks like we've got to get the summer bounty underway. I know our guests will be looking for things sooner than they're ready, so it's always the trouble with seasonal, is if you offer seasonal foods, you sometimes have to get it from another area at the beginning of the season, so we try. Food, let's see, this week, today, Coquille Saint-Jacques, in other words, scallops. Nice, versatile shellfish. I think we've done a show on scallops before. Could do a lot. Very, well, I want to say versatile, of course, lean, healthy. You can have them anywhere from raw, especially the nice day boat, or even the divers, the ones that are brought up individually or in a let's say not individually, but whatever a human can carry at one point, I guess, in the water. But you want the want to get those right off a day boat, meaning the short trip. Obviously, nothing's held in a slurry of ice and water or on ice for longer than that. Other times, ships go out for a few days. You know, that doesn't mean the fish isn't good, but it has been harvested for a few days. Day boats are the best way. Usually you pay more, but they're worth it. But scallops, again, anywhere from raw to barely cooked. We don't like to cook scallops too much. No need to. I mean, of course, they're very safe, obviously, if there's fresh. The big thing to remember with the scallops is wet or dry. The dry scallops will maybe not look as creamy white as the wet ones. The wet ones are in a salt solution to plump them up a little bit. And also adds to their shelf life. But that water just, of course, adds to the weight. So the price is a little bit less. But then when you cook the scallops, hard to get them browned. And the water comes right out anyway. So you're better off with the dry. And it's usually a splurge, especially for the larger ones. Bay scallops, of course, a little bit less for the money. Well, we like the large ones. They're graded usually by a count per pound. U10, which means less than 10 to the pound. So the scallops will be 1.5 to 2 ounces each. Pretty nice size. One could be a first course. We used to offer that at Jake's with a lobster bisque and one giant seared scallop floating in the middle of it. It's a nice first course. So if you like scallops, enjoy them. This is the week. Devil's Food Cake on the 19th. It's always my favorite. Nice, the chocolatier, the better. Devil's Food and chocolate cake, difference being usually you use cocoa powder instead of liquid chocolate, so you get darker. And apparently, in years past, shredded beets were put in there. The red will darken up chocolate. We used to use to make our fudge writing icing for putting names on cakes and things like that. We used to make that, or even a filling, we would make it darker with using red food coloring. That low end of the spectrum there. So if you want to intensify chocolate, use red. Quiche Lorraine on the 20th. Quiche seems to be, I'm not saying making a comeback, but it's not verboten anymore. There was a time there when if you served quiche, you were considered a little out of touch or out of date, but well-made quiche is still, I think, with the renewed interest in eggs as a nice meal, quiche can make a comeback a little bit. But what's on my mind this week is the obsession with fried chicken. What's that all about? It's funny. As a young chef, we always joked, looking for the way to make the perfect beef bourguignon. You want that, you know, the tenderness, the flavor, not dried out, everything cooking, coming up the same, the vegetables. Now it seems the quest is for the perfect fried chicken, and there are many ways to get to this end, which we'll go over today at the table, kind of bring up some of the ways. I was kind of inspired for this last week in the Times. A German place in the city was doing, they called it German fried chicken, I guess. And they use a guinea hen, which is a little darker meat, a little more flavor than a regular chicken, but it's not coated with anything. And the description in the article was it was just bathed in oil, obviously cooked in oil, fried. The picture of it looked fairly dark, and then it was seasoned afterwards with kind of a mixture of sugar, salt, and I think probably a smoked paprika or something like that. So anyway, I was kind of intrigued by this. And, the skin's on the chicken, but no flouring, no breading, no battering, which we'll go into the different coatings today. And seasoned after, well, it made sense because I remember Korean lady one time told me about grilling. You mix salt and sugar together instead of just salt for your steaks or your pork. And the sugar doesn't really make the meat taste sweet, but it helps caramelize, helps brown the outside. And really, I tried it, and yeah, it does work. And when you think about it, most of our barbecue rubs have a high percentage of sugar in them. Now, I think these chef may have used white sugar. I, for lack of, you know, trying to come up with anything, I just wanted to see if the technique worked. So I had a chicken breast skin on. Would have rather had, I think, the dark meat, the thighs or legs would have been better. But this is what I had. So I threw it in the fryer. And after it came out, I sprinkled it with some of our barbecue rub, which has the kosher salt, the brown sugar, of course, many other spices, regular paprika. I put a little smoked paprika, and I guess that would help. But I was thinking of, okay, call this, do you call it barbecued fried chicken, or do you call it fried barbecued chicken? But anyway, coating it with the rub, and then back in the oven for about 3 minutes, caramelizes the sugar. And as it sat, even the skin, you know, even the meat, again, without the coating in the fryer, of course, the meat got brown. And it's the white meat, so it was still tender, of course. I think the thighs would have stayed a little more moisture because of the fat content. But this was kind of an experiment, and the skin and the meat were nice and crispy. So I've got to play around with that. And neat thing about that, of course, you're doing fried chicken. And for folks that need to be gluten-free or just prefer to be, there it is. And truthfully, the chicken does not really absorb oil. Everybody thinks that if you fry at too low a temperature, then you will get absorption. But at 350, frying 350 to 360, the proper temperature, and maintaining the temperature, you do not get the absorption of fat into the meat. My chicken inside tasted like chicken. It wasn't greasy. So there's no bad fried food. There's just bad frying, right? I guess the chef says. Anyway, we've got a break for a couple of messages here, and we'll be back at the table and look at some ways to, you know, that eternal quest for fried chicken, Chef Bill's Table. Are you reeling in the years?
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
This is Genia Versa, CRPC, financial advisor at Patton Hyde & Associates. Do you have questions about your retirement, like will your money last throughout your lifetime? Will you have enough to live the life you want? And when will you be able to retire? If so, you're not alone. As a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., Patton Hyde & Associates can help you find the answers with the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. We'll work with you one-to-one to understand your goals and discuss the four key areas of retirement, including covering your essentials, lifestyle, protection, and legacy needs. From there, we'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap with clear steps you can take to help you retire on your terms. Call Pat and Heidi and Associates today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
Back at the table here. Chef Bill, we're going to fry some chicken.
Yeah, it seems so.
Yeah, it's crazy. Fried chicken sandwiches. Chefs in their higher-end restaurants, I mean, first it was the burger craze, which is still rolling along as much as ever. But now the fried chicken, we developed one at Jake's, we call it the Red Devil. Kind of a little nod to 110 Central here, our local high school. And we do what's called a double dusted technique. And it's boneless, skinless chicken breast, which we actually flatten out. You want it to cook evenly, cook quickly. And we double dust, meaning a couple of coatings of flour. Now, when you're coating the chicken, traditional fried chicken, the pieces, the bone in with the skin on it and everything, of course, you know, you really, I mean, that's my favorite. I love that crispy skin. But for this boneless, for the sandwich, we want it to be a little bit more about the coating. So we don't marinate the chicken or anything, but we do double dust it. We use 2% milk. Could use buttermilk. Buttermilk's no fat. When you're coating chicken like this, fat in the liquid that you're coating it with, like say if you use eggs or if you use cream or whole milk, you're going to get a little bit richer crust, but it's not going to be as crispy. So we use the low-fat milk. We throw a little, shouldn't say throw, we add a little Frank's hot sauce to it, just for that little bit of, it is the Red Devil, of course, so you want it to be a little bit spicy. And we will dip the chicken breast in the milk first, and then we use a seasoned, actually it's a seafood breader. I found this stuff, and it's, if you want to find something close to it, the main thing is it's not just flour, it's got cornmeal for some crunch, and some corn flour. Now, if you can't find corn flour, sometimes it would be under the term masa that you'd make tortillas with. You want it to be a corn flour that looks like it's ground as finely as regular all-purpose flour instead of the cornmeal, which is coarser. Now, you want some of that in there for crunch. Barring that, if you can't really find the masa, cornstarch would work. Cornstarch, to me, again, besides the flavor, kind of repels the fat a little bit. It doesn't absorb it as much. That's another coating we'll go into later. You want a mixture of these. And then there is a little flavoring, you know, you get a little salt and pepper and maybe a little onion powder. A little bit of leavening would help, meaning baking powder would help also if you like to in there. Kind of lightens up the crust a little bit. But really you want this combination of all-purpose and corn flour and cornmeal. So it'll be a little crumbly. And so in the milk and then in this flour, and we season that with some poultry seasoning and sage, because after all, it is fried chicken. So you can either season the chicken or you can season the coating. We chose in this case to season the coating. So milk into that seasoned flour, right away back into the milk and back in the flour again. So you got a little bit, you're building up a little bit thicker coating. And then place it on wax paper or deli paper, something, and even if you need to sprinkle a little flour on there, just so you do you want to keep it dry. You don't want it. It will, as it sits, it will get a little bit moist on the outside, and that's not terrible, but it will fry up a little darker. Now, this product does fry dark somewhat because of the cornmeal in it also is going to make it a little darker, but that's fine. That's usually what you're thinking of. It's a thin piece, but with the double coating, it might take a little bit longer to cook. So we deep fry these. Now, you could do these on the stovetop if you want in what I call shallow frying, kind of a combination of frying and doing it in the oven. I would get them browned in some canola oil on the stovetop and then transfer them to a baking sheet and let them finish in a 450-degree oven. You want a fairly high oven for that. Keep the get the browning going. It's just, there's again, they're small pieces, so you want to cook them quickly. But you'll have a nice boneless, skinless piece of fried chicken, good crunch on it. And then we use a quick homemade pickle, sliced cucumber, the rice vinegar, salt, sugar, a little bit of hot pepper, and minced onion. Nothing more than that. And we'll peel and slice the cucumbers. And after a few hours, that you have a nice fresh pickle. Or your favorite pickle, or pickled vegetables. But you want pickle on the bun, and then the fried chicken, and then the honey sriracha is what finishes it off. And it's actually just equal parts of sriracha and honey, and I use clarified butter. You could melt butter and use that, but then you've got a little milk solids in there. I like the clarified. The milk solids and the regular butter, of course, are going to put a little bit of water in the product, and that may not keep the chicken crispy after you've cooked it. So equal parts, as I say, clarified butter, sriracha, and honey. And this mix up well, and just drizzle that over the chicken after it's cooked. You have a nice hot red devil chicken. Use it as a sandwich. Or another idea, chicken and waffles. Another one of those recent, I don't know, maybe obsession is the wrong word. It is for me. That you always look for the next new way of doing the same old thing, I guess, right? Must be what it is. But the fried chicken and waffles, of course, a little run. Usually it would be crispy chicken wings. Nice waffle. We've done a variation of it in the past, fried chicken, and we did a jalapeno waffle. And what we did was a Southern Comfort syrup. So maple syrup, of course, is my favorite, but we would use a dark corn syrup, or sorghum syrup, or anything like that, especially from down south. But the dark corn syrup and some Southern Comfort, and what you'll do is we would cook that for a little while, let some of the alcohol come out of the Southern Comfort. Southern Comfort's, of course, bourbon-based and peach-flavored. A nice garnish for that would actually be, when they're around, is some nice peaches. But that old fried chicken and waffle combination, it should be a spicy chicken, and you have the waffles. Now, the waffles could be savory, but there's usually a little sugar, even in a sweet one. I think someone did like a waffle that was like with stuffing. Just put it in the waffle iron and kind of molded it. What did I see? Oh, Mario Batali. He did a kind of a French toast. And I guess if you don't have a waffle iron, I mean, you want something kind of sweet as a foil for that hot sauce, and of course you need a sponge to sop up the syrup. I don't see any reason why a nice French toast wouldn't work, especially made out of a nice brioche or anything, depending again on how sweet you want it, but it might solve the problem. Say if you don't have a waffle maker and you don't want to use a frozen waffle, of course, if you're making nice fried chicken, try it on some French toast. We've got a break for news and a couple of messages, and then we'll be back at the table.
USA Radio News with John DeMaster.
Donald Trump says London's new mayor, Sadiq Khan, made some very rude statements about him. The likely GOP presidential nominee telling Good Morning Britain he was offended when the city's first ever Muslim mayor said he hopes that Trump doesn't win the election, calling his views on Islam ignorant.
Well, when he won, I wished him well. Now, I don't care about him.
Trump says Khan's comments were very nasty and notes the mayor doesn't even know him. A top U.S. official says ISIS is losing ground in Iraq and Syria. In Jordan, Barrett McGurk said the terrorist group is shrinking so that they're very much on the defensive. McGurk serves as the special envoy in the fight against ISIS. And the president recognizing 13 police officers today with the Public Safety Officer Medal of Valor. It's the highest honor given to law enforcement officers who risk their lives to protect others. This is USA Radio News, powered by USARadio.com.
Have you dreamed of going to the Holy Land and see the places that you've read about in the Bible? Hi, this is Governor Mike Huckabee. Join Western Journalism and me for the Israel Experience 2016. You'll experience the land of the Old Testament and the Gospels, the complex and beautiful land that was the setting for the teachings, the battles, and the miracles of the Bible. During your Israel experience, you'll walk where Jesus walked, sit atop the Mount of Beatitudes, and pray in the Garden of Gethsemane. You'll explore the old city of Jerusalem and swim in the Dead Sea. Join me and embrace the great beauty and spiritual significance of this land. Go to IsraelExperience2016.com/Western Journalism. Airfare to Israel, five-star hotel accommodations, all meals, fees, and even tips are included in this journey that'll change your life. IsraelExperience2016.com/Western Journalism. Come to Israel this year.
Let's see the local weather under the Chamber Radio in the Flemington area. 55 outside right now, a little sunny and breezy. High might be in the mid-60s today. Tonight, partly cloudy, low around 42. Chance of showers, slight chance of showers on Tuesday with a high in the 60s. And again, Tuesday night, lows in the mid-40s. Wednesday, slight chance of showers, otherwise, again, high in the 60s. And maybe early Wednesday night, slight chance of showers and clouding over, temperature in the 40s. Drying out a little bit, but possibly more precipitation for the weekend. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table. Back at the table here, frying chicken. So frying, I guess we should brush up on our technique here too. Frying is considered a dry heat cooking method. Confuses my students sometimes, the young culinarians. They you think, oh, it's liquid, so it must be a wet cooking method, but not so. Moist cooking methods are either poaching, boiling, steaming, braising, where you're adding some liquid stewing. Those are moist heat methods, but we're technically frying, again, is dry heat. Now, and of course, the really confusing is essentially what you're doing when you're deep frying is steaming something inside a crust. And why do I say that? Well, oil and water don't really mix. So good hot oil is going to keep the water inside the product. Now, when it finally cooks fully and it turns to steam and escapes, then that's when you have that sizzling and sometimes some splattering. I know when we're deep frying things, usually when it floats, it's done. And that's where that the product, you know, is lightened up, some of the water's come out of it. And when you're deep frying also, you can see the moisture come off. You should still use your exhaust fans, even though you're not creating smoke, you're creating steam. And, of course, some of the fat will go up into the air and kind of get over everything. That's where deep frying, a lot of times people don't like to do it in the house. Of course, there are nice countertop fryers now that make it a little bit easier with the temperature control. I still like the, well, for fried chicken, I like that open, the cast iron. I like a heavy pot for deep frying, especially when you're going to add large pieces like that, because you have what's called recovery time. So you've got hot oil, you put essentially cold product into it, and the temperature of the oil goes down. Now, you could increase the heat. If you have a gas stove, of course, it's a little easier to do. If you have an electric stove, it doesn't heat or cool down that quickly. I was doing some, I think I was making the Jake's buffalo tenders, and my sister-in-law and had an electric stove. And so if the frying oil got a little bit too hot, I would just take the pot off the stove, or off the burner, rather. You can turn the burner down, but electric burner takes a little while to cool off. So temperature control is the key thing. So you need a good thermometer, and you have to really pay attention to it. If you have a little fryer that's thermostat controlled, you don't have as many worries. But mistakes people make is, of course, besides not hot enough, of course, too hot, you're going to burn things before they cook. You think, well, I'll just crank it up, and then when I drop the cold food in it, it won't drop below that point. But really, it's not as simple. You don't want the first couple of things to burn, and then later other things aren't cooking or aren't browning enough. And if the oil's too cold, of course, again, you get that more absorption of oil into the coating. So temperature control. The shallow frying sometimes is easier to kind of manage, especially with chicken that's on the bone. You can turn it. Always that combination method of frying and then putting it on a sheet pan and finishing it in the oven. That could work. Oven frying is another thought. If you don't want to use the oil, whether for safety reasons or just you think, well, I don't need that much oil. The coating the chicken with, again, you need then some kind of dry coating of breading or even a double dusting. But you would then probably, I think now people use like a little spritzer just to spray the oil on. You could use the aerosol cooking spray if you like. You will need a little bit of oil just to get that browning. But in the oven, again, it's got to be very hot. I mean, I do oven frying. The oven's 500 degrees. I know that seems like a lot, but when you're putting that much food in, again, you get that temperature drops in there. You want it to recover quickly, and you get the proper browning at the same time that the product is cooking. We've done oven frying most often used with seafood, but you could certainly do it with chicken especially if you have a lot to do. Or you don't have the time or, you know, the big enough pot to do it. And oven frying is fine. And you'll see recipes that call for a crunchier coating or maybe even breadcrumbs that are already toasted to give it that nutty flavor if they don't brown up that much in the oven. So the oven frying is another option. And then that's normally kind of a standard breading procedure, where you flour the chicken and then into either milk or egg or a combination of the two. And then in some kind of either fine breadcrumbs, panko, people use cornflakes, you know, all kinds of ways to do that. But that standard breading procedure for oven frying will work. You don't really want to do that for deep frying. You don't want the breadcrumbs. So the coating should be a little bit finer than that. The breadcrumbs, you know, they're good, but they're going to absorb too much oil from deep frying. So how do we coat the chicken? Well, again, the double dusted is nice. Now we'll do a double dust for a dinner with flour, egg, and flour. I've done that before with chicken pieces. Again, the egg is going to make a little bit richer crust. Probably a good combination would be either use the buttermilk or use an egg and milk mixture, egg wash. Just lighten up the egg with some low-fat milk. So when we double dust, we have flour, seasoned flour, and then into our liquid, and then back in the flour, back in the liquid, back in the flour. So you're three times in the flour and two times in the liquid. And the best way to keep the mess down with this is we used to use a big brown paper grocery bag. And I suppose you could use a plastic bag also, but put the flour in the bag and you crimp the top. You can do several pieces at a time. And what you do is kind of pinch the bottom of the bag and shake the chicken around in the flour. It saves your hands from getting messy and splashing flour all over the place. You can do a few pieces at a time, and then after the chicken is floured, recommend putting it maybe on a rack, something that's not resting on the pan, because where that is, the flour is going to get wet from the chicken and from the liquid. You want that coating to stay fairly dry. Now, as the product sits, it will look like it's getting a little sticky. That's fine. It's still going to brown up nicely. And so at this point is when you would do your shallow frying. And people use oil, people use lard, or a combination of the two. You would not use whole butter. It'll brown too quickly because of the milk solids in it. Some people like olive oil. You do that for flavor. But at any rate, the oil, important, again, get it to the right temperature, maintain cooking temperature. When the product is brown, if it's not quite cooked all the way, you can always finish it in the oven. The nice thing about fried chicken, too, is, yes, you like it hot out of the oven or hot out of the fryer, but it's great picnic food. It's good room temperature, my favorite. And even cold, if you're going somewhere, it's perfect picnic food. We could fry the chicken the day before and chill it and take it along with you. In fact, we call them our road sandwiches. We would do a double-dusted chicken breast and put them on, long roll, Italian roll. Of course, some of the Jake's French dressing, which is kind of it's not that bright orange that you see in the jars. It's a mayonnaise based. It does have some more vinegar and sugar in it, but we grind up fresh vegetables in it, onion, carrot, and celery. So you have the juice from those, a little bit of garlic, oregano, and dry mustard. So it kind of looks like almost like a Russian dressing because of the vegetable puree in there, but really has a nice flavor. Again, that vegetables, the carrots add sweetness. The onion puts, of course, they're almost liquefied, so you're not getting chunks of anything. So that dressing, so you've got your vegetables, a little bit of lettuce, and make the sandwiches, wrap them up, and, as everything sits there, it's not too soggy. There's no tomatoes and things like that, just the lettuce and your favorite dressing if you wanted to do Caesar. But those sandwiches are best made a little bit ahead, and then if you're traveling or when you get to your picnic site, you're ready to go. Now, sometimes frying chicken, again, tried many techniques. We used to, at Jake's, do boneless half chicken, and boneless is nice. Takes less time to cook, but what happens is the skin doesn't have time to get properly crisp. So what we would do is, with the boneless breast and the boneless leg and thigh, is render the chicken a little bit. In other words, cook it in a pan, skin side down. Wouldn't cook the thing all the way, but it would cook the chicken a little bit, mainly get that skin starting to cook. And then when the order came in, we would then put it in a light batter and then in a seasoned flour. And then in the fryer, and that seemed to work. The skin will get crispy with bone-in chicken because, of course, you're cooking it longer, but we needed something that was a little bit faster for a la carte service. And that worked out pretty well. And we would serve that with the jalapeno waffle and the peach bourbon syrup, Southern Comfort syrup. Other techniques I've used, in the first place I worked, we used to parboil the chickens. And I think sometimes in Asian cooking you'll see that, especially the old favorite General Tso chicken is twice fried. So you fry it once, it sits, and then refry, gets it crispy again, puts that, an extra, you're not breading it or coating it again, just double frying it. But the steaming, I think, would seem to work best. Steaming would cook the chicken, keep it nice and moist. You've started some of the skin cooking a little bit. You cool it off, and then you can do some kind of whatever your favorite coating is. Now you're essentially in the fryer. Now you're reheating the chicken, but you're still doing it in the side of a coating. It's still keeping it moist, and it saves you a little bit on cooking time and also safety. You don't have to worry about serving undercooked chicken. We've got a break for a couple of messages here, and then we'll come back. We'll make favorite chicken and maybe another involved way of putting a nice crust on the chicken. Chef Bill's Table.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Okay, we're back at the table. Chef Bill here. So, frying chicken, so many different ways. You know, do you brine it first? Do you marinate it in the buttermilk, which is kind of nice? It tenderizes it. I think what everybody does like that, you want that crispy crunch. And the coating, we've done all-purpose flour, works very well. We've done the Wonder Flour, the gelatinized, a little bit more refined, finer crust. I think the all-purpose gives you a little bit more heft to it. Using egg or using milk, some people use egg white for just the protein. When you're doing, say, like the General So, you would marinate the chicken in a little bit of cornstarch and sesame oil, maybe a little soy, and then dust it with the cornstarch, which would give you that nice, crispy, thin coating. There's tempura, if you're having small pieces of chicken. The panko, of course, is a standard. People like that. And again, I wouldn't deep fry the panko. I mean, you think of that as just a breaded chicken. But if you do it in a combination of clarified butter and canola oil, or if you do it in olive oil, it's going to add flavor to those breadcrumbs. So when you have a thicker coating like that, the cooking oil does become the flavor part of the dish. We'll do a Parmesan crusted. We've, of course, done that with seafood, but with a thin chicken cutlet. Very nice way to add a lot of flavor in the coating. And again, not deep fried. This would be sautéed and finished in the oven. Sautéed in olive oil. The Parmesan crust, of course, we do our equal parts of panko and cornmeal and Parmesan cheese. So you want, you know, half cup of each, whatever your the amount you need. You do one part of each, and maybe a little parsley in there if you like. But there's plenty of salt in there. Pepper can always go on afterwards. But this is a nice coating for, again, standard breading procedure when we do dust with flour, seasoned flour, and then into the egg wash, and then into this mixture. Now, this will darken up fairly quickly because you've got the cornmeal, you've got the cheese. So we do quick browning in some olive oil, and then it gets finished in the oven. And this would be great if you had the chicken. Of course, we like the little arugula salad or something on the side. You know, it's kind of a kicked-up panko. And, of course, Italian breadcrumbs, if you like that kind of flavor, always a good choice for coating smaller, thin pieces. But the crispy, deep-fried, you know, that's usually the flour, or even some people do a kind of a batter coating. Now, our double-dusted, my family calls favorite chicken, doing this for a long time, and I think it came about, I think you'll see recipes for chicken-fried chicken instead of chicken-fried steak, and that's normally flour, again, double-dusted, floured into milk or buttermilk back in the flour, you know, starts to form kind of a thick coating over a lean beef cutlet. So we did this with the chicken, double dusted, seasoned flour, egg wash, seasoned flour. So this is going to be a more delicate and tasty crust because, again, we're using boneless, skinless chicken, so we need to add something to this. And I would always cook it, of course, in clarified butter, which, you know, when you're flavoring a crust like that, I mean, come on, that's what it's all about. So the crust, this coating will absorb that butter or olive oil or whatever you're using. So make sure to use something good. So we'll simply, now I've done this just in the pan. You can turn it a couple of times. And actually what I'll do is put another pan parsley over it, so it's not really steaming it, but kind of creating a little bit of steam, and that's fine. The crust still stays on there. Easiest way is, of course, brown it and finish it in the oven, and then make a sauce. Now, a traditional, which would probably be like a, I don't know, probably the history would be maybe a chicken Maryland, let's say, would be in the pan. Of course, you've got a little bit of the butter that you fried it in, and of course there's a little bit of flour, so you've already got the startings of a roux. And you can add a little white wine if you want, but yeah, if you want to keep it even simpler, just add some chicken broth, and I would put black pepper and a little pinch of thyme, and let that reduce a little bit, and then heavy cream, and just let it cook down until it gets a little thickened. You can throw a pat of butter in there if you want, but no need. I think that little bit, it's almost like making a milk gravy for chicken fried steak. And I guess that's where kind of the inspiration came from for this. So you have a cream sauce. Now, we've done variations of it over the years. We've done with the sun-dried tomato, which is very nice. You put the sun-dried tomatoes chopped up in your cream sauce as it reduces. Another variation was with andouille sausage, little cubes of andouille, and a little Creole mustard. Took the sauce in a other direction. So, like I say, and you could probably, if you didn't want the dairy in there, you could probably just do some chicken broth, let it thicken up a little bit. You could have kind of a pan gravy, if you will. So, ways to do it, but this is the favorite chicken. We would always serve the chicken on top of the sauce. We wouldn't work that hard to get a crust on the chicken and then dump sauce over the top of it. So, that's how you would present it. And options, of course, potatoes, rice, even make extra sauce. You can always put it on pasta. But that's the chicken that, besides for dinner, we would use that for our sandwiches, that double-dusted chicken breast. Favorite chicken, my family calls it. And it's something the kids were raised on. Everybody still likes it. It's kind of their favorite dish. A great technique. You talk about a little complex, but I'm sure the result would be nice. Potato crusher. Michel Richard, French chef for years. I think he had Citronelle. Several restaurants, anyway. Ran across a recipe of his. He does a potato coating. And he uses boneless breast and boneless thighs. Cut the breast half into three pieces and the thighs into two pieces. He does a little dry rub to season, and then finely diced potatoes. So the rub is sage, a little garlic, and cumin, and let that sit on the chicken for a little while. You can scrape off the garlic afterwards. He does the potatoes, though. Take 2 pounds of potatoes, peel them, and of course the chefs love the mandolin. You get the thin julienne strips, 1/8 inch, and then you take those strips and dice them uniformly. We call that brunoise in culinary, an 1/8 inch dice, very, very small diced potatoes. You'll rinse them and pat them dry, and then you'll combine these potatoes with 4 tablespoons of flour and 2 tablespoons of beaten egg white, which is the egg whites from 2 eggs. This is the coating. You would dust the chicken with some flour and then coat this potato mixture on around the chicken pieces. Now what he does is wraps them. So in plastic wrap, it kind of helps that coating stick on there. You know, nothing simple here, right? So we coat with those diced potato / flour an egg white mixture, like a light potato batter almost, and then wrap them, freeze them so the coating sticks. Also, these are small pieces, so you want them to brown properly. By freezing them, by the time it takes to cook, the potatoes will be browned. Fry them at 325, a little bit lower than usual, but the potatoes have to, they're diced small, but you still want them to cook and crisp up. And at this point, you do want that clarified butter would be the best medium for this, but probably olive oil would be a little bit better health-wise. But clarified butter, you can imagine just a buttery potato coating around some chicken. We've got to run. It's the end of the hour. Chef Bill going to sign off, and we'll talk to you next week.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
USA Radio News with John DeMaster.
Donald Trump says London's